Always very nice to see you, Mr. Frary.
And you too.
How are you?
I'm very well, very well.
Booked any bands for your festival yet?
No, we're still talking to lots of people. But while we're on the subject, though, if anyone's around next week,
well, you've got your Thursday, committee meeting, haven't you?
It's the annual general meeting of the festival. So we're
so
looking
far,
for
neither
lots of
us have said what festival we're talking about.
Amptill Festival.
So you want more volunteers?
Yeah, so it's a good fun thing to do. We've met loads of great friends since we moved to the area, 13 years ago. Really good bunch of people. So we're looking for people to join that happy crowd.
Yeah, and when do you actually start to book bands? And what, how does it happen?
Well, we're in discussions right now, so okay. Hopefully...
Has Bruce replied to your email?
Which one?
Yeah, Bono.
Bruce Hornsby.
Yeah. So you're in discussions, and then what, you announce it early next year?
Well, usually we try to announce it sort of end of January sort of thing. So, it always depends on the band's management when they are announcing other gigs, that sort of thing. So,
oh, you have to tie in with strategy and things like that.
Yes.
Good.
But it's very exciting.
You can tell me off air who you're talking to, and then I'll tell everyone after 2 o'clock on your way home. Now, you very kindly, do you know what? I need to be clear on this. You haven't given me this so I would talk about it. You very kindly given me this, but I'm going to talk about it because I think it looks rather lovely.
You've
gifted me The Story of Codes by Stephen Pincock.
And
Mark Frary. Okay. You love your codes, don't you?
I do, yes.
You are a rocket scientist. I should say, we're here to talk about travel, and we will do that in a minute, your alma mater is science and codes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, former nuclear physicist and interested in lots of technology and interested in codes from a very young age. I was just saying to someone the other day how I got into it by doing those puzzle books you used to get when you went on holiday, when you have these sort of car journeys.
Yeah.
So my dad would do this sort of 12-hour car journey from Norfolk down to Devon, and I'd be doing those puzzle books with all the codes in. So I've been into it since then, and this book is the result of that early interest. So it's a sort of history of what's going on in the world of code breaking.
And am I right in saying that the code breaking, in effect, without code breaking, we wouldn't have smartphones, and without code breaking, we wouldn't have, half of the data we have today. And it's not just for code breaking, it's not just for geeks.
That's right. So, pretty much everything you do on the internet now has some sort of code element to it. So it's all encrypted, obviously, mobile phones, it's touching every point of our lives these days.
I noticed, just flicking through, there's a chapter, Codes in Fiction, because it was Edgar Allan Poe, wasn't it, who used to wrap those in. There's also codes in music. Did you know about this?
Yes. So Elgar.
Yes.
Enigma.
Yes.
Code.
And also the atonal, I'm talking about this like I know about it, my dad's got a PhD in this, but the atonal crew, Alban Berg and Arnold Schoenberg, and they used to, there was mathematics in their music, so there was actual code in the choice of notes and the order of the notes, and so codes have been everywhere, always.
That's right. Yeah, and I was just reading the other day about the Roslyn Chapel in Scotland. It was sort of part of the Da Vinci Code story. It's where they eventually go and find the clues to that lead them to the Louvre in the end. Sorry if I've spoiled it for anybody there, but somebody found out fairly recently that the architecture of the chapel, it had been designed with a code sort of hidden in the architecture and on all the columns in there. And it was actually a piece of music, that a medieval music, and somebody actually decoded it and then put on a performance of it, which I think is frankly amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. So the book is called The Story of Codes.
Yes.
By
Modern
Mark
books.
By Mark Frary.
Yes, available in all good bookshops.
Good luck with that, Mark.
Thank you.
I do. Do you not love the smell of a new hardback
it's
book?
So exciting. You get the box from the publisher and open it up, and you've got like 12 books in there, and just the peeling apart the pages, and just that smell sort of wafts up. It's one of the best things about writing books.
Right.
Yes.
That goes there. Who knew it's Christmas soon? In a nutshell, what are the headlines for this week?
Well, so I've been this past week at World Travel Market, which is one of the biggest exhibitions that Britain holds. It attracts 50,000 people from all around the world, from every country, every corner, every one of the seas. And they all come there to try and sell each other the idea of where to go on holiday. So it's a brilliant place if you like travelling like I do. And so I've been sort of wandering around the halls of Excel, looking at all these places to go. So I've just come up with with a whole load of new ideas for 2020 so that the listeners can get some inspiration on where to go.
Yeah, and these big trade fairs have done their job here because you've come on the radio and I'm going to talk about a load of things that you saw while you were there. 2020, big year for Wales.
It is. They've named it the Year of Outdoors, and you know, that's one of the best things to do in Wales, isn't it? Get outdoors.
Do you have any Welsh roots?
No, not as far as I...
Slightly Welsh voice occasionally, you'll find. It's like sort
singy,
of...
Singy-songy.
Yeah,
yes.
Slightly valley lilt to your...
Yes, no, I do love Wales, so, you know, just in so many different ways.
You got soaked last time, really. So it's the Year of Outdoors.
Yes, and a couple of big initiatives next year. The Wales Coast Path, 870-mile path all the way around the coast of Wales. And they've come up with 70 new itineraries for people to go on. Very sort of family-friendly stuff, ranging from 3 days to 7 days. And so they've uploaded all of these fantastic new itineraries to their website and to their app. And so to try and encourage people to explore that coastal path a bit more. And so
and it is really beautiful, looking forward to that.
Incredible. You know, some of these places, you know, around Milford Haven and Tenby, obviously, I think that just got voted, the Castle Beach, they got voted the best beach in Britain.
And
it's stunning.
Possibly, isn't it one of the top three in Europe? And it is absolutely beautiful. I'd love to go there. The Rosetta Stone. This is local.
London. This is sort of links into the code thing, actually. So I don't know if anyone's seen it, been to the British Museum to see it, but it's how they sort of cracked hieroglyphics because it had you know the Greek on there and the hieroglyphics, so they could sort of translate between the two. And before that, they had no idea what hieroglyphics actually meant. But what's really exciting for me is that this company called Take Walks are now offering this sort of secret tour of the British Museum before it opens in the morning. So it's like Night at the Museum or something like that.
Early, I love that.
And what they do is before it opens to the public, you go around with a guide, and they actually have this key that you open up the Egyptian collection with, and so you can go there and you spend some time looking around at all of those amazing things, you know, those big columns that they've got in there and the statues and of course the Rosetta Stone.
A country I would really like to visit, Slovenia.
Yes.
Which I haven't been to, and which I'm told marries the sort of Southern European Italian style with a touch of Eastern Central European as well, and it really is an interesting melting pot of cultures and history. Have I got that about right?
No, that's exactly what it's like. You know, so I think, you know, a lot of people get it confused with Slovakia, and they're just sort of thinking that, which is a beautiful place.
Just because
it starts
with Slov.
But it's you know, it's got this sort of Mediterranean feel to it. Very, very beautiful country. It's got some incredible hiking trails around there. But the big thing that they're doing this year to try to promote is apid tourism. Any idea what that could be?
It's bumblebees, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Obviously, we're all into bees these days, trying to save them.
It says it on the bit of paper that you gave me.
But, you know, it is the European centre of bee culture.
Wow.
And so if you're interested in bees, there's so many things to do in the country that are all related to it. So you can, like, go for a honey massage, for example, if you're into all your sort of well-being and spas and that sort of thing. And the world's best museum of beekeeping.
Right.
And... but the best thing, and I've got this picture which you noted earlier on, which it looks really exciting.
I love this. Look at this.
It's basically some apartments that are shaped like honeycomb.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a gimmick, obviously, but they look really fun, I think.
They look amazing. So these are just outside Ljubljana, and they're called Be Our Guest. You can find it at beourguest.eu. And of course, it's worth saying that the low costs go straight from Luton, don't they, and Stansted?
They go from Stansted. EasyJet goes from Stansted, and I think Gatwick as well.
Do we not go from...
There used to be some flights, I think, but I don't think they go direct from Luton anymore.
So you fly into Ljubljana, do you?
Ljubljana, it's about
Have you
20
been?
Kilometres. I haven't. It's on my bucket list.
Yeah. I'm told also that it is a very, very, very beautiful country.
Absolutely. Mountains, everything, you know, really, really stunning.
And my last random Slovenia fact, one of the hottest places in Europe in the summer. It's in that sort of melting pot area, and it gets very, very, very hot. Yeah. I only remember Elizabeth Rossini saying that on the news back in the summer. That's where I'm getting my headlines from there. So beourguest.eu if you want to go and see those apartments in Ljubljana, Radovica for the Museum of Bookkeeping as well. If you've got a question you want to throw at Mark, we'll happily do it for you as well. 0810 if you want some advice on where to travel, how to travel, when to travel, or indeed if to travel. It's likely that he's either been there, is going there, or has deliberately chosen not to go there for reasons that he'll tell you when you ask whether you should go there. This is Nick Coffer. It's BBC Three Counties Radio. Words are right out of my mouth. Must have been while you were kissing me. Never makes sense, that lyric, does it, Mark?
I'd not really thought about it too closely, actually. I have the other one, though, the other long one. You know, you said you wouldn't do that. You know.
Oh, yes. The thing is, when you play music all day long, like I do, you end up really listening to the lyrics and realising that a lot of it is just very, very weird. Mm. Right, it's very nearly 1:30. Coming up after the news headlines, we'll talk about a brand new country that you've discovered. Mexico as well, as Mark takes us to the other side of the Atlantic. Walt Disney World as well. A little bit of skiing, we'll go via the Faroes and then Disney. There's a lot to cram in there, Mark, isn't there? First, let's get your travel.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Beds, Hearts and Bucks travel.
It is a big world, but let's look at it on a very Beds, Hearts and Bucks basis.
Hello. Well, on the M1 northbound, and a lorry has broken down in the middle lane. That's between junction 14 and 15. So thanks to Greg, who called to let us know. So I'll keep you updated on that. The M40, that's queuing southbound from junction 4 at High Wycombe towards 3 at Loudwater because of a breakdown. So two lanes are blocked off there at the moment. On the M25, anti-clockwise, very slow from junction 24 at Potters Bar towards 23 at South Mimms. Just some of the usual delays we see this time of day. And just an update on the Children in Need Rickshaw Challenge. It is now making its way towards Boreham Wood. A good service is running on the trains. Anne Marie Walsh, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
It's 1:30. I'm Jane Killick. Labour has been setting out its plans to provide free, full fibre broadband to every home and business in the country by 2030 if it wins the election. Jeremy Corbyn says the Labour government would take over BT's Openreach broadband division and pay for the free service by raising taxes on technology giants, including Facebook and Google. Boris Johnson has rejected claims from the Brexit Party that many of its election candidates have been offered peerages if they agree to step aside to avoid splitting the Leave vote. The Brexit Party leader, Nigel Farage, says he was offered a seat in the House of Lords, but insists he can't be bought. Two more men have been charged with the murder of Luke O'Connell in Watford, taking the number charged to 7. The 26-year-old died after being attacked in Gammons Lane at the end of August. A specialist Bedfordshire police team has won a prestigious World Policing Award for the role it played in cracking a cyber attack on the Sony PlayStation. They worked with the National Crime Agency, the FBI, when the network went down in 2014. The weather for Beds, Hearts and Bucks, breezy and mostly cloudy this afternoon with a few spells of rain. Those are the headlines. The next bulletin is at 2.
Nick Coffer.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Into the
Duran Duran, A View to a Kill. Would you ever have Duran Duran for Ant Rocks?
I'd love to. I think they're too expensive.
Are they in a certain league?
Yeah, so a bit more expensive than we can probably afford at the moment. But I think they would work very well. So if you're listening,
So if you were to increase the ticket charges to £137, then you'd have a chance. So are there leagues? Is that how it works? So you've got like your really expensive, and your slightly less really expensive, and then you're still expensive but still slightly less expensive.
Yeah, there's sort of I would say there are sort of three leagues that you get. You get the sort of the ones who are, you know, were big in their day and maybe sort of coming on the comeback tour. then ones who are still got it today, and you know, maybe they're twice the price, and then you get the sort of mega stars who, you know, just fill any stadium anytime they announce anything, and they're like 4 to 10 times more.
That's Mark Frary, travel writer. This is BBC Three Counties Radio. I'm Nick Coffer. We're talking to Mark about places to go, things to do.
Yes.
All on this bit of paper here in a lovely list form. Should we just crack on? Because you've discovered a new country.
Well, I thought I had, yes. So I was wandering around World Travel Market, and there was a big sign saying, welcome to Eswatini. And I've never heard of it. And I thought, you know, how did I miss that? You know, have they just, has something just risen from the ocean floor or something? But it's actually a bit more of a rebranding than a new country.
So what was it?
Exactly. It's what was Swaziland. So it changed its name.
Okay. South Africa.
Yes, between South Africa and Mozambique.
Eswatini. Quite brave to change. I mean, not brave. Often countries change their names due to political issues and unrest. But it is quite brave to rebrand a country.
Yeah, I think so, because obviously there are lots of connections with the name and everything. And so, you know, it really is sort of turning over a new page. But it obviously hasn't harmed the country, because Lonely Planet has just named it as one of the best places to go in 2020.
Why?
It's mainly the wildlife.
Yeah.
You know, it's an incredible place. It's one of the best places to see rhino. Lots of amazing game reserves there. You know, very sort of eco-friendly destination as well. And the natural landscape is beautiful as well. The Lubombo Mountains, you know, run through the country.
How do we get there, Mark?
You can fly in to the capital, or you can, you know, go to, you know, about 2 cent a holiday with South Africa or Mozambique. So it's, you know, it's not, you know, one of the easiest places to get to, but, you know, it's an independent traveller sort of destination. Yeah. So it's not going to be sort of a package holiday with TUI or something like that. So you need a, you know, bespoke, tailor-made travel agent or something like that to do it for you.
www.thekingdomofswatini.com.
Yes. It's the only remaining proper kingdom in Africa as well. So
Los Cabos. Why are we all headed there?
We're all going to hear about this next year, because TUI have started new flights there. So it's going to be one of the hot package holiday destinations for 2020. And they've invested huge amounts of money in loads of new hotels there. They've got a new Hard Rock Hotel there that's running a Cirque du Soleil show, a new one called Bazaar.
Are they trying to be a new Vegas?
I think there's a bit of that, yeah. And it's already attracting the celebrity crowd as well. So Courtney Cox from Friends had her 55th birthday.
You mean Courtney
party
Cox
there.
From Bruce Springsteen?
Possibly.
Do you remember the video she was in?
No.
Dancing in the Dark.
And Jennifer Aniston was with her at this birthday party. So they all stayed down there. So it's and a few other Hollywood
celebs. So that's going to be an it destination.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we go on talking about it destinations, Channel 5, I dropped on the other day by accident a documentary about the super hotels, and this one's in the Bahamas called the Bahabar. Does that ring a bell? Three massive hotels, all 5-star, 5,000 people there at any one time, 11 swimming pools, huge casino. It's basically a city within a city. Now I have a question for you. Right, and that is, I totally respect what they do, and the program's well worth the watch, by the way. You can catch it on the Five catch up thing. Would you go to a place like that for holiday?
I don't think I would.
I get that people do. I get it, but personally, I think I'd feel really swamped by it.
Yeah, I think it appeals to people who like sort of loads going on in their life. I mean, when you go to these hotels, and in Vegas, you mentioned Vegas. I mean, most of the hotels in Vegas are this sort of thing. You know, enormous number of rooms. So, you know, MGM and places like that. You know, they've got thousands of rooms, but that means they've got all these incredible facilities as well. So it's if you know, want that wow factor, you want the entertainment, you want, you know, the Robbie Williams in the show, and that's what you get when you go to the hotel.
But here's the problem: they had one of these hotels. They had a, sort of a back entrance, which was a hotel within the hotel. So you've got your luxury hotel, then you've got your back entrance, which is even luxurier with its own lobby, and I get it. You know, it's exclusive and. I found it fascinating watching how the other half live. But I couldn't help but think that when this person pulled up in the Bentley that is laid on by the hotel, and they pull up at this, you know, secret entrance, they're still pulling up to a 15-storey hotel, which actually, and I say this politely, is not that handsome, because no 15-storey hotel is going to be handsome.
It's a tower block, isn't it?
it is a tower block with very fine amenities. Mm. And I just thought to myself, I don't think I'd do that if I had that money. But then maybe if you had that money, you can afford to do what you want.
Often with, if you're talking about the ultra rich, one of the main reasons they choose these hotels is not necessarily because of, you know, how it looks on the outside, but how discreet the hotel is, right, and whether it has the right security arrangements, for example. So there are certain hotels, you know, that do very well, even though you wouldn't think that they were a celeb hotel, but they have an underground car park where you can get a lift straight from the car park right up to the penthouse suite.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they're looking for.
Discretion.
Yeah.
Still don't think I'd like to be in a hotel with 7,000 other people. Some of the resorts, Disney and also Universal, they've got some things coming up, haven't they?
Yeah, so there's some new budget accommodation. I mean, I say budget here in a way that, you know, it's not going to be £10 a night sort of thing. But there's a place called Endless Summer that's opening up at Universal Orlando. And they're going to have rooms from £59 a night or two-bedroom suites from £89 a night. And so it's going to be a cheaper option to stay, you know, right by Universal there. Yeah. And one of the main reasons for going there at the moment is that they've expanded the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
And
they've got this, I haven't seen that yet, but it's
possibly one of the best rides on the planet, according to Theme Park Insider, which is the go-to website if you want to know all about
the Hagrid
ride.
One.
Yeah, the Hagrid one. Yeah. So you actually sit on a motorbike or in the sidecar and go around on this roller coaster. It looks insane.
This may have been mentioned by my 12-year-old. Walt Disney World is, well, it's just down the road, isn't it?
That's right. And what's exciting there, if you're a Star Wars fan, as I am, is Galaxy's Edge, which is opening up there fully right now. So they've got these things like where you can, you know, build your own custom lightsaber, and you can fly in the Millennium Falcon.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Yes. A couple of other sort of Disney theme park related things as well. Disneyland Paris.
Yes.
It's got a bit tired there, hasn't it?
It opened up in 92, I think it was, and they are now embarking on the biggest investment program since it opened. So they're opening up three new themed areas around Star Wars, Frozen and Avengers, but that's going to be a longer term thing, so 2021 you'll start seeing those, but no reason why you shouldn't book those right
Disneyland
now.
Paris. And then this Village Nature, I'll be honest with you, I looked at these 2 years ago and then realised I needed to remortgage the house in order to go there. So this is basically Disneyland Paris and Centre Parks coming together, and it's just, what, 10-15 minutes outside of Paris, or just near the parks.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, you know, Centre Parks has got this reputation, particularly with the middle class, Brits, you know, so, people like me, obviously. We love a Centre Parks, and we've been to Village Nature as well. And it's, it's slightly different. I mean, it still has some of the same things there. You know, it has
this
tropical, that's the same. But, you know, the tropical swimming lagoon and the slides and the cycling and all of that. And, so it is nice. And if you want that proximity to Disneyland, it's just on the doorstep.
I'll tell you what, we'll do some skiing. We'll do the Faroe Islands next as well. I just need to catch up with Andy, though. It's Children in Need Day today. And Andy's touring around the three counties, visiting Pudsey Events with Pudsey himself. Let's find out where he is.
Here I am at Redbourne Primary on another one of our little visits that we're doing for Children in Need. And in front of me is just a lot of kids. Hi, kids. So my name's Andy, and this is Pudsey, but I don't know your name. So will you do me a favour? After three, just shout out your name as loud as you can, yeah? One, two, three. Yeah, a few Timmys, Sharons, and an Elizabeth, and a Ryan. Are you having a good morning, kids?
Yeah.
And are you enjoying Children in Need, yeah?
Yeah.
I got Pudsey with me. Will you say hello to Pudsey for me? You are really good. Listen, you're doing a great job this morning. I hope you have lots of fun. And you all look amazing. I'm loving all your outfits. Can you do me one big favour before we go? We're trying to get everybody to do... What's it called, Katrina? What's that called?
Flossing.
That's it. Right, so... I'll tell you what. Can we all stand up? Can we all stand up? All right. One, two, three, floss! This is great radio. They're all flossing. All right, kids, everybody wave and say goodbye, Pudsey.
Andy took the words out of my mouth. I literally turned to Mark and said, flossing on the radio. And Andy said, this is great radio. Andy continuing his tour through the three counties, all the Pudsey Children Need events. And we'll hear from him again in an hour's time. This is Nick on BBC Three Counties Radio. More to come from Mark as we carry on our travelling journey after Mark Ronson, Miley Cyrus. Nothing breaks like a heart.
The bullet cigarettes, this burning house, there's nothing left, it's smoking, but we both know it. We got all night to fall in love, but just like that we fall apart. We're broken, nothing gonna save us now. Well, this broken silence by thunder crashing in the dark. This broken record spinning less circles in the bar, spin round in the bar. This world can hurt you, it cuts you deep and leaves a scar. Things fall apart, but nothing breaks like a heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing breaks like a heart. We'll leave each other cold as ice. Remember what you said to me. We were drunk in love in Tennessee, and I hold it. We both know it. Nothing gonna save us now. Nothing gonna save us now. With this broken silence by thunder crashing in the dark, crashing in the dark, and this broken. Nothing gonna save us now. Nothing gonna save us now. This broken silence by thunder crashing in the dark, crashing in the dark. And this broken record spinning less circles in the bar, spin round in the bar. This world can hurt you, it cuts you deep and leaves a scar. All apart, but nothing breaks like a heart. Mm-hmm. Nothing breaks like a heart.
Mark Ronson, Miley Cyrus, Nothing Breaks Like a Heart. It's Nick on BBC Three Counties Radio. Mark's in the studio. Gav, what are you doing in here? Are you just coming to say hello?
I'm waiting.
I know. Have you bought us chocolate?
No.
Have you bought us anything?
Not today.
Have you forgotten that microphones are required in order for people to hear you? There we go.
Not today. No, I didn't have a chance to
stop off for the chocolate.
Oh, you hear from me, Tim.
But it's lovely to meet Mark. That's really why I came in.
He's much better looking on radio, isn't he?
Well, I listen to and I think, oh, where am I going to go on holiday? And I think, oh, I'll go and ask Mark now.
Just
before that song finished there, you said, Mark, where can I go in April? Because what do you say? You normally go to Mallorca?
We go to Mallorca, but the weather is iffy. Let's just say iffy. So I thought I'd go a complete U-turn and go to Scotland instead. I'm definitely not going to get good weather.
Haven't you booked to go to Scotland anyway?
Yeah.
Is that coming up soon?
Additionals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any links to Scotland?
You wouldn't know.
No. I mean, do you have any family there or any...
No. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here whatsoever. I was actually thinking of taking the kids to the northern coast, sort of when you go just sort of between Aberdeen and Inverness, where all the dolphins are. And have you been up there? Is it nicer? What are you looking at? Is that good or bad?
Good.
Is it? It's called...
They burl their words in that area.
Loch Ness.
You have to go and see Nessie.
Yeah. They burl their words.
Burl their words. What does that mean? Like they put curls on their words and a very burly word.
Talking of which reminds me of my favourite Scottish insult, which an old friend of mine taught me. Do they say, go boil your head?
No.
Go boil your head?
Yeah, go boil your head.
Go boil your head, yes. Which I think means go stick your head in a vat of...
Give your head a shake.
Boiling hot water. So, Mark, come on, where do we go in Easter?
Well, Morocco, maybe. That's a bit further south, isn't it?
You know,
that's nice around there. And yes. Maybe one of these Middle East destinations, one of the new ones that's coming up. So, you know, Dubai and Abu Dhabi are old hat. You need to go to somewhere like Ras Al Khaimah or Ajman, which is a new and upcoming emirate out there.
What's
very
it called?
Family Ajman.
Ajman.
Yeah.
So up and coming as in not Dubai, not...
Yeah, so there's still sort of early stages of development, but got lots of nice new hotels, and April, the weather will be great.
Okay.
Just to let you know, your husband has just WhatsApped me saying, get this man off the radio. I don't know who pays for these trips, but I think he's sounding quite worried by the sounds of it. Right, we need to finish our travel-y, but you're welcome to sit here if you want and enjoy not being on the radio. Mark, let's finish with this. The Faroe Islands, this is quite cute, isn't it?
Yes, so it's a bit further than Scotland, but lots of people, I think you can get ferries from there to the Faroe Islands.
Have you been, Gail?
No, but I know you can. I'm the worst Scottish tour guide because people always go, have you never been? Have you never done that?
And it's they're doing this thing called Close for Maintenance. So they're actually turning away tourists for this weekend. So actually this is April as well. So maybe you could do this. So they're closing down all of the major attractions on the islands on the 16th and 17th of April. And they're inviting voluntourists to come to the island to help them rebuild cairns and remake the paths and put up signposts and things like that. And the great thing
about
it is...
Do you have to pay to go? Or?
Well, you have to pay to get there, so you could pay for your ferry or your flight. But once you're there, the locals will look after you. So they invite you into their homes and they'll feed you Faroese food and then they have a big party at the end of
That's
of the
a great
days.
Idea. How do we find out more about that?
So that's visitfaroeislands.com.
Okay. And then this, a little bit of skiing, but in the company of a ledge.
Yes, Eddie the Eagle. There's this company called Ski Weekends. They've got together with Eddie the Eagle to have a weekend away with him skiing in two resorts, so Courchevel and Avoriaz. And basically, you get to ski with him during the day. You don't have to go down a ski jump, I don't think. you just spend some time in his company. He's an absolutely brilliant bloke as well. So,
yeah,
I've interviewed him.
He's a top guy. Do you ski, Gail?
No.
Okay. Mark, where are you taking your lot for skiing next year?
We'll probably go to Les Arcs, so in France. Ruben is 7 years old. He's still learning, so we want to go somewhere that's family friendly, easy to get to. So
Mark goes for 4 weeks to five-star resort scale. He books out the whole of March
research
to go skiing.
Quite right.
So skiweekends.com for the Eddie the Eagle events. Monty says, what's New York like at the end of April? I'd say lovely.
Yeah, I mean,
spring.
It's lovely any time of the year, isn't it?
Apart from January,
I didn't even
August.
Go then, because the excitement of whether you're going to get snowbound.
I mean, because I nearly went to see Springsteen at Madison Square Gardens in 4 years ago, and the concert was actually snowed off because nothing was moving in New York at all. So I wouldn't go in January. In August, the pavements melt, don't they?
They do, yes. But, it's one of those iconic destinations. It's like coming to London, isn't it? You go there whenever because there's so much to do inside and outside.
You been to New York, Gail?
It's one place I do want to go to.
Paris is not
yeah. I've not been able to part from my children yet.
Do you have an upcoming wedding anniversary or something?
It's been planted. The seed's been planted by my husband firmly that he wants to go there, so it will happen.
Oh, he wants to go.
Yeah,
there.
We want to go there,
okay,
but I can't.
Do you want to go there together?
Yes. Yes, I should have made that clear.
You can't leave the kids yet, or even for a weekend.
I know. I'll get there.
So let me just rattle through what Mark's gone through today. Do any of these take your fancy, Gail? The Wales Coast Path. It's the Wales Year of Outdoors next year, 2020. You can go to the surf beach, which is called Rest Bay, because there's a new water sports centre open there. WalesCoastPath.gov.uk for more info. Go and visit the Rosetta Stone before the museum opens at the British Museum. Takewalks.com. You get to open the door to the museum's Egyptian collection. Slovenia is. Do you know what apitourism? Were you listening? You know the answer to this already.
No.
Apitourism?
No.
Bees.
Oh, bees, yes.
So spelled B-E-E, beourguest.eu for those hexagonal shape beehive flats, which look very, very funky. And of course, the Museum of Beekeeping in Radovica. Eswatini, this new country, which was formerly Swaziland, obviously between South Africa and Mozambique. Lots of wildlife watching there. Rhinos, zebras, wildebeest, warthogs. Sounds like the Lion King.
In fact,
it probably... Wasn't Lion King set in Swaziland? Am I imagining that? The Kingdom of Eswatini.com for more information. Los Cabos is going to be the new trendy destination, a bit like Las Vegas. There's going to be big hotels and a bit of Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston there as well. At the theme parks, UniversalOrlando.co.uk, they've got some new budget accommodation there, which is going to be from £59 a night, that's opening shortly. Walt Disney World have opened Star Wars Galaxy Edge. You can build your own custom lightsaber, and Disney are spending £2 billion in Paris at Disneyland Paris. Faroe Islands are closing down, closed for maintenance on the 16th and 17th of April. www.visitfaroeislands.com if you want to go and do that. And ski weekends, you can go and spend some time with Eddie the Eagle and see the film as well, Taron Egerton, wasn't it, and Hugh Jackman. skiweekends.com. Where are you off to next?
Well, I've just started organising a trip to Moscow, which I've never been to.
When you say you've started to organise, what does that mean?
So I've got to go and speak at a conference. They're just sort of trying to organise the details of what I'm going to speak about.
So you've been invited. You don't know what you're going to talk about, but you're definitely going to go.
Well, something about travel and maybe about social media in travel or something like that.
It's meant to be an incredible experience.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've been to St. Petersburg, but not to Moscow.
Would you take your family?
If I could, it's one of the destinations that Claire really is desperate to go to. So if I can tie it in with a trip with her, and possibly not the family, if the grandparents will come down.
As anyone knows, in your family, keeping Claire happy keeps a happy house. Am I not wrong?
You are.
Did
not
I see
wrong.
That you've recently just celebrated? Was it 30
years since we got together in university?
Congratulations!
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
30 years, and they met at university. Mark was a mature student; he was already 47 when he. I wish I knew the secret to that, Mark. 30 years of. I can probably guess.
Having
the secret.
Fun.
Well, you two do that. You do have a lot of fun. You have your quality time, and that's probably the best way to do it. Plus, having seen you in action, you know the two very important words when it comes to Claire. Yes and dear. Gail, we'll see you back here very soon, hopefully, as well. Mark, lovely to see you. Where can we find your musings?
MarkFerry.com or at MarkFerry on Twitter and Instagram.
Tell us all about Russia next time. It's nearly 2 o'clock. I'm Nick Coffer.